be seated. Thank you, team. As Team Jesus, we are trying to start a new chapter in this church, new in history and where we're going to go in the future. And to do that, everyone that God has here, part of this church, needs to understand that God calls us to be disciples. A disciple is different than just a Christian, someone who's put their faith in Christ. A disciple is someone who is not just put their faith in Christ, but now has laid out their life before Christ to do whatever Christ wants to do with it. So today we're going to continue. We kind of started this little series last week, and we're going to continue in it. And today we're going to be looking at what a disciple is not. Let me ask you, is Sunday morning going to church dangerous? Some places I heard, yes, if we were in Iran or North Korea or China, we might be having a difficult, dangerous trip this morning to come here. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in situations like that. But in one way, it is more dangerous to come to church here in America for two reasons. Sunday morning church is dangerous in America for two main reasons. One, most of our people are not in church anymore. And the longer you stay out of the church, the longer you reject the church, the harder your heart becomes. Second, many churches are preaching and teaching a false Christianity, deceiving millions away from the truth into New Age occultism and mysticism, wrapped up with Christian terminology. Many will say to him on that day, Judgment Day, Lord, Lord. And he'll just say, Depart from me, I never knew you. Why? Because they were deceived. They're believing, they thought they believed the truth, but they did not. Because today, and we will see by the time I'm done with this sermon, hopefully on time, most people do not want this anymore. They want new revelation, something different. This is a box to them. And it cramps their style. It cramps their freedoms. They want out of the box, meaning outside of Scripture. Now, I'm going to try to stick to my notes because today, this is not a problem here in this church. What I'm going to be showing you today is not taught in this church. And by the time I'm done with this sermon, you'll completely agree with me. We are 180 degrees out from what I'm going to show you. So this is not a problem you're going to have to deal with here. But I know many of you have loved ones or friends who are being deceived by these things. And the Bible tells us near the end, there'll be many false churches. I'm not here to attack churches. I'm not here trying to be mean this morning. I'm here to expose the truth and shine the light of truth on those things done in darkness, done in masquerading as the truth. We are to reveal those things. We are to expose, the Bible says, those things that are done incorrectly, ungodly, and for from the truth. What a disciple is not, and this is what you're going to have to help people understand, because this is part of the deception. There's four things deceiving many people in many churches today. So let's go through them. A disciple is not seeking an emotional experience through false worship of God. What is worship? You ask most people, oh, it's singing songs. No, it is not. It is the life we live before our Lord. That is true worship. Jesus said this, John 4, verse 23, But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Now, the spirit there is a lowercase s. This is our spirit, not the Holy Spirit. We're not worshiping in the Holy Spirit. It's our spirit and the truth of who God is and the truth of what He has done. That's what causes us to worship. But before we worship, it causes us to live a life honoring. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what I've commanded you to do. Spirit and truth. Our spirit, the Bible says, we are dead in our sins and trespasses. Before we are born again, before we are saved, we are dead and our spirit is dead. The Holy Spirit comes in and brings us to life in Christ based on what He has done, based on His righteousness. It changes who we are. We're new creations in Christ. We are forgiven. We are restored. We are redeemed. We are justified in the name of the Father. And so we have hope. We sang about that hope this morning. And we are thankful for what He has done. And that causes us to want to worship. But the number one way of worshiping Him is your life. It's not coming to a worship service. Jesus told the woman at the well here, well, she said, no, we're supposed to go to the mountain and have a worship service. No, no, you Jews say we go to the temple to have a worship service. And God, Jesus said, no. It's spirit and in truth. It's who you are. Your life, your spirit that I brought to life is going to worship me in the truth. And that's every day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, a verse we know well in this church. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. The surrendering of you to the Holy Spirit, whom you were sealed, whom indwells you, through the power of the Word of God, which is alive. It changes us. It conforms us from the inside out to have the mind and heart of our Lord and Savior. It makes us want to obey Him. It makes us want to be salt and light. Surrendering to the sanctification, allowing Him to create in us the good thing that He wanted to do. Ephesians 2:8-9, it's a famous verse we know in the gospel. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship. His workmanship. He wants to work in us and create in us, make us a vessel and a tool in His hand. That's what disciples do. You see, you really want to worship God? Fulfill His will for you. Become indwelt, embraced, inside sanctification. That's where you find yourself. How to possess your own vessel, your own body in this life, in sanctification and honor. You see, that's true worship. And when you have that happening, then you understand what Jesus has done for you. Then you can worship Jesus. You can worship God. It's coming from a heart that is thankful because God has touched your life. God has changed you. And you're so thankful, so we worship Him. And our songs are about Him. And it's upward. And it's based not on feeling some emotional high during the music. No, it's based on the relationship you have. But see, today worship is not about worshiping God upward. It's about God coming down and touching people. Because see, they really don't have a solid understanding of what God has done for them, who He is and what He's done. And many of them have heard a false gospel, so they're not born again. So we have the emotional impact, the feelings, the truth of what God has done when He came into our life and He has changed our lives. They don't have that. So it needs to be orchestrated for them so they can feel something. Play the video. All right, so this is a theme you'll hear a lot. They need to be touched. You see, Christ already touches you when you come to salvation. Holy Spirit comes in, you're born again. But see, they need to continue to feel it. They need worship to be about experiencing something. Next one. This is in a church. That's their worship service.
To say that you are filled with the Holy Spirit, but you do not live a holy life, is foolishness. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and in honor." And verse number 7 says this, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." Everything that it does is based on emotion. It's based on euphoria. It's based on giving you some sort of spiritual moving experience. But it is not based on Bible truth. It is not bound by any doctrinal system. This feeling that this false spirit gives you is, in a sense, like a drug for most people. They live on it. They got to have it. They can't live without it. They crave it, and they will float across the country going to conference to conference to conference, getting this next spiritual high that they can get. This spirit is...
He goes on. I could do so much more on this. This actually could have been a whole sermon, but I didn't want to do that. The worship is designed to create an emotional experience, sometimes even trance-like conditions. This comes out of Hinduism, the occult, of having people get into a state, this higher mind altering state. That's not worship. Worship is not God giving you an experience of Him. Worship is not God giving you a feeling of His presence. You should already have His presence in you with the Holy Spirit. And that's what causes us to worship upward, to be thankful. But if you notice the worship of most places, it's about making us have an experience, making us feel good about, it's backwards. It's 180 degrees out. And that's why we can sing here. We can sing simple songs without the big smoke machines and lasers. And there's nothing technically wrong with that stuff. But here we just want to sing songs that are about Him and what He's done. And we're thankful. We're happy. And we worship the One who has saved us. Discipleship is not seeking an emotional experience through the false worship of God. And again, I could go on and more of this. It's crazy what some of the worship services have turned into. The next one, a disciple is not seeking an entertaining experience from God. You see, when they come to church, they want to be entertained. You see, we come to church, and the Bible is very clear, we come to church to hear the Word of God. Hopefully, that's what we come for. Paul tells Timothy, the little pastor, preach the Word. But most people want to be entertained, because sitting through an hour-long service is just too hard, even though they can sit through a football, and NFL football is almost around the corner, isn't it? They can sit through a football game for 3 hours. They can go to the movie theater for 2 hours. So hard to sit through a sermon. Well, you can sit through what you're interested in. Put it that way. But a lot of people today want to be entertained when they go to church because, one, again, they don't have a real relationship with God. It's false. They don't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They don't have that relationship. And so they're missing something. So it has to be falsely created, so they can feel supernatural. They can feel they're near God. Jesus said this in John 4:48. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive people that they are seeking God, that they have the real truth. It's false signs and wonders to masquerade, to deceive people, because that's what Satan is. He's a deceiver. He doesn't mind if people believe in Jesus if it's the wrong Jesus. He doesn't mind if people hear the gospel of Jesus if it's not the biblical gospel. He's all for that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, the coming of the lawless one in the end is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. And today we have churches based on this. They have to give their people coming, to keep them coming, they have to give them signs and wonders. They have to entertain them. They have to give them the wow factor. Go ahead. This is Bethel Church. And yet I'm not picking on a church, but hey, this is the, what is supposedly the presence of God coming down in their church service. Gold glitter, they used to call it just gold dust. It's cosmetic grade glitter floating in the air. Now, when we know from Scripture, when people are in the presence of God, they drop as if they're dead. Isaiah said, I can't go before the Lord. My mouth is so unclean, I can't go before the Lord. But here, supposedly, the presence of God, the glory of God comes down upon them, and these people are screaming, hollering, taking pictures. Is this really the glory of God? Glory of God scared people half to death in the Old Testament. Next one. I am baffled how gullible people are. This gold dust floating, that's not in the Bible. But again, you'll find out, they don't want to be in the Bible. They want to be outside the Bible, outside the box. They want new revelation from God because they don't like this revelation. There's two kinds of revelation from God in the world. There's general revelation of the creation around us that tells us things about our designer, our creator. But then there's special revelation. Two things are special revelation in the world. Jesus Christ incarnate and the Word of God. They don't like this. You're going to hear them talking about, we need fresh revelation, new revelation. Because they want to be outside this. Gold dust floating around in the sky is not found in here, folks. But they need signs and wonders to believe. They need to feel like they have a real relationship with God when they don't. Another sign and wonder you'll see in the churches, these false churches, are the speaking in tongues, this gibberish. Speaking in tongues is in the Bible. But what it is, it's a human being, a disciple of Jesus Christ, speaking in a language maybe they do not know. Holy Spirit is using them to speak a language that they do not know, that somebody out there in the audience knows and will hear. Or it's speaking their language, but somebody in the audience hears it in their own language. But it's known human languages, not this gibberish. Click. These are New Agers. If you look in the background, you'll see all the New Age symbolism. This is New Age, this is Hinduism, this is the occult. I'm sorry, her voice is annoying.
Now, I want to also challenge your thinking as well. The New Age people, when they have their meditations and they're playing their mantras, lots of times they will begin to do something called light language. And light language is almost identical to what the charismatics do when they are, quote, talking in tongues.
We receive words that are not our own.
Bere
The pastors and teachers teaching this stuff are going to be held accountable. The poor people who have been deceived into this stuff, they don't come out of it. They need this stuff. But you find what's happening in churches is what they're doing in the cult. How is that possible? How are our cultic stuff, New Age stuff, Hinduism inside the church? Because they put a Christian overcoat on it. They use Christian terms, but it's the same stuff. Then there's, outside of speaking in tongues, there's what they call being drunk in the Spirit. That's not in Scripture. Being slain in the Spirit. That's not in Scripture. Being uncontrolled by the Holy Spirit. Uncontrolled laughing. Uncontrolled body movements. They say this is the Holy Spirit of God. But what you're going to see is Hinduism. Because of the video I'm going to show you is the Hindus doing their occult practices. And it looks pretty much like what these churches are doing. About the church, they're shooting fire at people. Where is that in Scripture? You can't see, but there's a person in the background right there, and he's all out of control, and he pushes them down. This is Hinduism.
The greatest thing you've ever seen.
Look at that poor person being controlled. This is a cult. Being done in churches across town from here. Few minutes drive. You know what this is? This is demonic. This isn't even, oh, you're exaggerating, Pastor. Oh, everything's demons, right? This is demonic. This is doctrines of demons. This is deceiving spirits. This is Satan masquerading as an angel of light. So these people think they're getting close to God. They think they're experiencing the God of the Bible, the God of Israel, the one true living God. But what they're experiencing is the demonic masquerading as ministers of righteousness. They don't have the eyes to see because they're being led by false teachers and false pastors, wolves in sheep's clothing. It's flat out demonic. A disciple is not seeking an entertaining experience from God. We seek the Word of God. It's not flashy. It's not, it's not that. It's not entertaining enough. They have no faith, and that's why they need signs and wonders. Jesus said it himself. A disciple is not seeking an affirmation of self. Church is not about us. How many times have I said that in the last 10 years? More than you probably want to hear it. Okay. Seeking an affirmation of self. Christianity, true biblical Christianity, it's not about us. It's about Him. Matthew 16, verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and die to self. That's why we have that cross out there in the foyer as you leave, laid over. That's what you're supposed to carry. And Kevin made the sign. And that's hopefully the last thought you have when you leave the church. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. It's no longer about me. But Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's about him. And when you have Christ, you have it all. And Christ doesn't, the Bible doesn't teach us to make life about ourselves. Actually, what does the Bible call us to? And this is why we don't have people kicking down our doors trying to get in here, because this is what we teach. This is what the Bible actually tells us to become. If you've been born again, you've been saved, you're a child of God, the Bible calls you to become a slave and a bondservant. Click, Levi. Slaves and bondservants. Laborers in the field. Good soldiers. Slave, we think slavery, no, we don't want to do that. No, no, this is the good master. And you're going to be a slave in this world. Everybody is. Either you're a slave to yourself and your sins, which basically make you a slave to Satan, or you're a slave to God. That's your only two choices. Most people are too proud to classify themselves as slaves. I'm a slave. Jesus bought me with a heavy price. My life, which used to be about me, I'm telling you, I was good at it. I was good at making life all about me. You can ask my wife. Because before I was a believer, and I've told you the story before, Wendy was ready to leave me. She even asked God if she could. And God said, no, you hold out. I'm going to get a hold of that hard-headed guy and change his heart. And by God's grace, he did. But I was so about me. We want to become slaves. Laborers in the field. What do we think nowadays, laborers in the field? Illegal immigrants, right? Beneath us, we're not people who would work in a field picking stuff. That's for the lower classes. No, we're to be laborers in the field. That's how we to see ourselves going out, working in the fields, getting our hands dirty, sweat on the brow. Soldiers, good soldiers of Christ. A lot of people don't like them. They think they're too good to be soldiers, you know. People that go in the military are people who can't afford college or not smart enough to go to college or whatever. So they go in the military. A lot of people think they're too good to be soldiers. Soldiers are grunts. Get dirty. They risk everything. See, that's what the Bible calls us to. But see, that's not what these people teach. These churches teach not this humbling and becoming servants. They teach it's all about you. They teach that you're so awesome. You're so amazing. You have God-like qualities in you.
When you say, I am blessed, I have favor, angels go to work. Good breaks will find you. But nothing happens till you speak. The miracle is in your mouth.
So mystery religion is designed ultimately to glorify you and not to glorify Christ. It is a egotistical religion. It is based on how amazing you are and wonderful you are.
When does creation get released from the curse? As soon as you figure out who you are. What's the point? You rock.
You just don't know it.
Now, one example of that is in the book of Acts, chapter number 8, with a guy named Simon the Sorcerer. And so notice what the Bible says in Acts, chapter 8, verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Do you see the link there between egotistical people, egomaniacs, and the usage of sorcery?
That's a good word. You rock. And you didn't even do it to you. I am God Almighty. I am God Almighty. I am amazing.
Mystery religion makes a big deal about you, and it doesn't make a big deal about Jesus Christ.
It's in me. It's in me. I rock. I am God's greatest creation.
Ultimately, it is the religion of pride.
There's kings in you. There's crowns in you.
I was born to do greater works than Jesus.
And just like in the Garden of Eden, it wasn't about God. It wasn't about what God wanted. It's about making you bigger and making you more important.
There's legacy in you. There's dreams in you. There's ministry in you.
I'm his inheritance, and he actually likes me. And I like me too. And if you got to know me, you would like me. Creation knows who I am. The devil knows who I am. God knows who I am. The angels, they know who I am. And today, I know who I am.
And you can ultimately become your own God. Who needs God anymore? Because, you know, you can be great too, just like God.
When God created you, when he saw how magnificent you are, how strong, how attractive, how talented, God looked at you and said, that was very good. The only time he used very good is when he created you.
Gotta breathe. He just lied. He just said, boosting people to think how awesome they are instead of God. That God, when he created you, he said it was very, only you did he say that. Talking about the creation of humanity. Well, let's go back to that account in the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. Then God saw everything that he had made from day 1 to day 6. Man wasn't made till the end of day 6. Around day 6. He saw everything that he had made. All the animals, everything. And indeed, it was very good. Why is Joel Osteen changing the Word of God to focus on us? Next one.
So when it comes to this spirit energy force that has many names, the concept is basically the same. You breathe this power in and you use it to accomplish your goals. Acquiring this spirit energy makes you a better person and makes you more capable and gives you all types of strength, whether it be physical or spiritual. And I want to point you to a couple cultural examples of this, one of them being this guy named Jake Paul. He started a boxing career, and I made a couple videos about this, but I want to point this out as well, where he was doing this bizarre ritual at the beginning of all his fights. And I want to show you a video of what he's doing. It's a bizarre breathing ritual. It's very extreme, but what he's doing is breathing in real deep, and breathing out and screaming, of course, when he does that. And this is called breath work, which is a very common practice in Eastern meditation and Eastern mysticism. What he believes he's doing, he's breathing in life energy. And this is somehow empowering him as he goes into his boxing matches. This is actually a practice called pranayama, and where these people get together and they will do breathing exercises. And I want you to watch just a segment of this video with me.
Yeah, prana means a vital force, a universal force, which is essential to be alive, and yama can be controlled. This prana is existing everywhere, and it's also
this
existing
is
inside
Hinduism,
the body.
This breathing technique.
It really helps calm my state of mind because it creates a focus on me and my internal world.
The focus is on me.
I guess. It just creates right. That space if I'm in a stressful situation and I need to just do some simple inhalations and exhalations. Even when we breathe, just day to day without even thinking about it. It's the quality of breath that really helps to set our mood.
If you practice pranayama, there are a lot of changes will come. Mainly you may get energy, good energy will come, and your mental clarity may increase, and your intellect will become more sharper, and your emotions will be balanced.
Now I want you to see what Stephen Furtick teaches in this video. He teaches a prayer practice that he does where he breathes in the Holy Spirit. Stephen Furtick is basically going to teach the exact same concept as pranayama, but instead of calling this prana, this life force, he's going to call it the Holy Spirit. Why? It's because Stephen Furtick is not a Christian. Stephen Furtick is an Eastern mystic. I want you to see what he has to say in this video.
Today I just want to share a prayer that I've been praying. I have moments like I'm sure you do where I feel overwhelmed with a lot of little things. Sometimes it's just when I find myself getting to that place, there's a prayer and an action that I started taking, and it starts like this. I breathe you in, Holy Spirit. I breathe you in, Holy Spirit.
This is a pastor of a church, Elevation Church.
And strength comes suddenly. I breathe you in, Holy Spirit. And your strength comes suddenly. And your peace fills me completely.
This is Hinduism.
I breathe you in, Holy Spirit. And strength comes suddenly. And your peace fills me completely.
Guys, that's not in the Bible. That's an Eastern mystic practice. Stephen Furtick is an occultist. This man does not believe the Bible. That's not how the Holy Spirit works. You don't breathe in the Holy Spirit like he's some sort of vape machine or something. You don't breathe in the Holy Spirit like he's prana or he's chi. Stephen Furtick is dreadfully in terrible doctrinal error here. I am literally just blown away that people don't see the problem with this guy. So what Jake Paul is doing with breathwork and what the Eastern mystics are doing with pranayama, Stephen Furtick is doing the exact same thing. He's just calling it the Holy Spirit. I really don't know what else to tell you. This man is bad news.
And he's deceiving, if not millions, he's deceiving hundreds of thousands. Ephesians 4:30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed. The Holy Spirit of God, this teaching of breathing in the Holy Spirit, it's right off Hinduism, it's out of the occult, but it's also not understanding God, the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is not something you breathe in. The Holy Spirit is not a force you can control. The Holy Spirit is not someone you can manipulate to get what you want. The Holy Spirit is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are one. And then there are three distinct persons. Just like you wouldn't try to breathe in Jesus or try to breathe in God the Father, you can't breathe in the Holy Spirit. It's crazy. Next one.
We draw in what we constantly think about. You can't think defeat and have victory. You can't think weakness and have strength. Your life is going to follow your thoughts. Instead of thinking these weak thoughts, you need to think power thoughts. Victory starts in our mind. You'll be amazed at what will happen if you'll start thinking power thoughts. I'm breathing energy, vitality, freshness into your body. Words are like seeds. When you speak something out, you give life to what you're saying. If you continue to say it, eventually that can become a reality. Whether you realize it or not, you are prophesying your future. And this is great when we're saying things like, I'm blessed, I'm strong, I will accomplish my dreams. Your life will move in the direction of your words. But too many people go around prophesying just the opposite. They don't realize they are prophesying defeat. It's just like they're calling in bad breaks, mediocrity, lack. You are planting seeds when you talk. At some point, you're going to eat that fruit.
Your words have power? No, they don't. I've had people say, oh, speak words of life to me. Life? You're speaking words of death? What? My words, when we were younger, and I know the older generation in here knows this saying about our words. What's that old saying? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but your words will never hurt me. We're not God. We can't speak things into existence. But what they're trying to teach people is that you have a divinity about you. You have a divine spark in you. And this is also Eastern mysticism, the teaching of the Buddha, your karma, think positive, the law of attraction. This is all occultism, and Joel Osteen wraps it up and gives it a Christian overcoat. And he says, you're going to eat the fruit of this. If you're smart, you'll eat the fruit of this. Sounds like what Satan said to Eve, right? Genesis 3:5. For God knows that in the day you eat of its fruit, that fruit, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God. And that's what this seeking of self, we're more than what we really are. No, we're slaves. We're sinners before. There's nothing good about us, nothing worthy, no righteousness. The best righteousness is filthy rags to God. But God can save us and redeem us, but then we're just slaves. Laborers in the field. No, no, you're more than that. They want you to think, that's why Satan wants you not to look at the true God. He wants to see yourself wrong. Go to the next one. Go.
There are genes locked up in your genetic code right now. Not from your physical relatives, but from your Heavenly Father. God has already pre-programmed in your DNA gifts, talents, favor, opportunity. Those genes are lying there dormant. You might not even know that they're in you. There are seeds of greatness locked up in your DNA. What God has locked up in your DNA is about to kick in and thrust you to a new level. And thrust you to a new level.
It's always been in you. It's always been in you. It's always been in you.
There is medicine in your leaves. There is healing in you. The gift has always been in you.
I would love for these false teachers and false pastors to stand on one side of the stage and have the resurrected 12 disciples. The men who lost their lives. Paul, who said he lost everything and counts as rubbish. All these guys do is preach how much you can have, how much greatness is in you, and you can have it all. Your dreams. Everything. And look at the 12 who were slaves and servants, laborers, good soldiers. God's plan for them was not to have your best life now. Not even have your best health. They were all killed but one. 2 Timothy chapter 4 says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come, and it is the time we live today. They will not endure sound doctrine. They will not want this, but according to their own desires. They'll have itchy ears. They'll heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn aside their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And that is what we are seeing across the board in America in churches. And if you keep seeking self, you keep listening to these people, and I have other parts of their sermons where they say we're little gods with divine-like abilities. If you keep seeking self and thinking you're all that and not focused on God, this is where you could end up. This is the crazy end that people can end up.
What created God? And when we look for the answer, we discovered something even more profound, that we are God. We are the infinite nothingness of existence that birthed everything from its internal mathematical fullness, and we got lost in our own creation. We, the infinite, fooled ourselves into believing that we're finite. We tricked ourselves into believing that we're embodied beings. We got lost in our dream of the universe. So, what created God? Religion says that God is beyond our understanding, but we can absolutely understand. Nothing created God because God is nothing. A nothing that is an infinite fullness. This nothingness needs no creator. It exists by its inherent properties. Nothingness always is, always has been, and always will be. This is the great revelation, the secret knowledge, the hidden truth. It was never a matter of not being able to understand. It was a matter of perceiving it from a different perspective. Instead of seeing nothingness as an emptiness, seeing it as a fullness, a shift in understanding that
I had to stop it there. Does anyone want to attempt to explain what you just heard? Yeah. I can. Romans chapter 1. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. They glorified themselves. nor were thankful for God for what he has done, but became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts were darkened, professing themselves to be wise. They became fools. John 3, John the Baptist says some very good, what he says here should be our heart. Talking about Jesus and talking about himself. Talking about Jesus, he must increase, but I must decrease. It's about him. It's not about me. And he was the greatest of all the prophets, John the Baptist. He who comes from above is above all. He who's on the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And this goes back to our true worship. Our true worship is about him, not about us. Now, unfortunately, I really thought I could get this done. We're a few minutes before 12. I'm going to go over just a little bit. I'm really close. If you need to go, go. I understand. We're close. We're almost done. A disciple is not seeking an affirmation of self. It's not about us. But this is why they suck so many people in, because, you know, when you're not a believer, yeah, you're about self. We've all been there. We've done that. Now they're preying on that. No one wants to be a simple slave, a bondservant, a laborer in the field anymore. You don't ever hear that coming from their mouths. Be good soldier. No. A disciple is not seeking an alternative to the Bible. Listen to what you're about to hear in this video coming up. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man, woman of God may be what? Complete! If this completes us for what God has designed us to be, do we need anything outside of this? No, this is it. It completes us. You don't need anything else. Hebrews chapter 4, the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing in the division of soul and spirit, joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is everything. Not to this pastor of a big church. His father is Dr. Charles Stanley, who just recently died, a great man of God, a great pastor, and a great Bible teacher. But here his son, listen to how he describes the Bible.
Part of the problem in Christianity is that when we grew up, we were taught the Bible. And that in and of itself is not a problem, but in some ways the way we were taught the Bible is problematic. Because if you grew up in a home like I did, or a culture like I did, or a Christian tradition like I did, I heard that this was the Word of God, and I've always believed that. I've heard that it was infallible. I've always believed that. I heard that it was inerrant. There were no mistakes. That the whole thing is inspired. And as a child, you say, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. And, you know, Adam and Eve and Jesus and Noah and Moses and Jesus coming back. It's all equal. It's all in equal terms. But unfortunately, because the Bible was presented to us as a book, which it is not, because it was all presented as one holistic thing, which it is not, because we never even understood where this came from, it was a house of cards. So all someone had to do was come along and pull away a couple of the pieces, a couple of the foundational pieces, and suddenly the whole thing comes tumbling down. And even though, you know, it was something to appreciate, it wasn't necessarily something that was factual. And even though there were stories in here that were inspirational, they weren't necessarily true. The Bible says, in quotes, the Bible says is not an adequate starting point or returning point for many adults.
Of all the videos I've shown you, and all the videos I have, that one probably stirs the greatest indignation within me. Everything he said was a lie. But most people are not going to verify what he's saying, test what he's saying. In the coming months, as we do this discipleship study, I will show you everything he said is a lie. We can show that this is beyond the creation of man. He said it wasn't meant to be a book, that it didn't basically match together, fit together. That's so, it's a lie. Can we prove that God authored this book? Can we prove it's supernatural? Can we prove that this Bible is true and it's beyond the creation of man? Yes! And I will set that out in this series. But the people of his church don't have a pastor who's going to tell them they can trust this. So they're going to doubt it. They're going to go to outside revelation, new revelation. But see, Jesus said this. John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. But see, they don't want the word of God. They want new revelation. Listen to the next one.
We surrender to the rhythms of grace. And we ask you for a fresh revelation of Jesus.
Hey everyone, I have a quick word to release today. You're downloading fresh revelation. So what the Holy Spirit wants to
say today...
All right,
click. I don't have time to finish it out. She goes on to tell them, you guys are so awesome and so amazing. You have pleased God so much. Jesus Christ sees that you are up here, and now he can give you secret, new, fresh revelation. Secrets of God. They want fresh revelation. They don't want this. This limits them. And they want to be able to experience the flesh. They don't want to be told that it's not about you. No, they want to make everything about self. They're so awesome. They're so amazing. This is the Satan. This is Satan, the serpent in the garden going, Eve, you can be like God. Do it. The most dangerous thing is Sunday morning in America, in many places. They say that the Holy Spirit will give you new revelation, but that's not what Jesus said. Look at John 14:28. But the Helper, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, I mean, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance what? New revelation? Fresh revelation? No. Your remembrance, all things that I said to you. Last one. Go.
If you've got a box, the only person inside it is you, and maybe your church, but he ain't in there. He's on the outside, and if you want to be with him, you're going to have to get on the outside.
And that's what they want. They want something outside this. Call it outside the box. According to them, we'd have a very religious spirit in here because we stick to the Word of God. They would say that we were in the box because we stick with the Word of God. They're on the outside. Great. On the outside? Then you're outside of God. Oh, no, God's infinite. God defines himself very clearly. There are things that God cannot do. What? God can't lie. God can't contradict himself. God can't be the author of confusion. There is a limit. It's not putting God in the box, but God has presented us his word. It is to complete us. You don't go outside this word. He said, don't change it, don't add to it. They are definitely going outside and trying to add to it. It's evil. John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So a disciple is not seeking an emotional experience through false worship of God, having God touch them so they feel good about themselves. And to do that, they need the big band. They got to have the emotional music. They got to cry. A disciple is not seeking an entertaining experience from God. You're happy to come here, and maybe not happy to stay over like I usually end up keeping you, but you're happy to come here and hear the Word of God. A disciple is not seeking affirmation of self. We're starting to learn it's not about us anymore. And we want to serve, hopefully. We'll be humble before our Lord and Savior because he humbly died for us. A disciple is not seeking an alternative to the Bible. No, we want to know. Come on up, team. Come on up. Thank you again for your patience. This wasn't an attack just to be mean, but this is what people, many churches are teaching. And we, if we're going to be disciples, true disciples, if we're going to be out in the world being salt and light, we need to help people see it's not about you. Not in a mean way, in a loving way. So you know what? What you've been taught is wrong. Come into the box with me. Right? That's what we want, people to come in the box. Just like Noah tried to get people to come into the ark. A representation, a picture of Jesus Christ. Come into the ark. Come into Christ. Come into the box that He has given us, where we are safe in His truth. So we need to help people. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, again, I just ask you to help us to take this in and understand it. We need to understand this. I ask you to help us, to help those who are lost in this, who have been deceived. And I ask you to help us be, that we are all starting a new path, a new chapter in this church. We're going to walk forward together, each one of us, into the discipleship. We're going to need to learn what it is. And today it was learning what it is not. But I ask you to help us to understand it, Lord. And I ask you to help us to apply this truth to ourselves and to help others who may be deceived by this. But it's all about you. It will always be about you. Everything is about you. And you deserve that, Lord. We love you, and we ask you to help us to honor you and to worship you, not just with this next song, but with this next week that we walk, and we walk before you, and we live before you, and we want to worship you. Let it begin here and now. We pray this in your name. Amen. Let's guys go ahead and stand up. We'll sing this last song. Praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Oh, thank you. Thank you for being patient and staying and sticking around. And God, by His grace, has protected us from hearing false teachers and being deceived into false stuff. I know new in my faith as a believer, false teachers tried to get a hold of me, and by God's grace, He kept me safe. God's kept us safe from false doctrine, false teaching. But many have been deceived. It is our job to help them come out of it. So as Team Jesus, let's go be salt and light. And let's actively look to see if we can help people. Let's play our best game this week for our Lord and our Savior. Let's break out of here on the count of three. One, two, three. Break! Let's go.